Faces, Heels, and Tweeners. Sunday night's main event proudly brings to you the East Coast podcasting champions of the world, Brad the Dad and Greg Father Feltham, your Smack Daddies.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your SmackDown review for Sunday night's main event. I am Brad the Dad, and riding shotgun with me is my tag team partner, Greg Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
And we are your Smack Daddies, and we'll be covering night one of the WWE 2024 draft for Sunday night's main event. Greg, as far as I know, we weren't drafted over to Raw.
Brad, after tonight, I'm not sure anyone was really drafted anywhere, so...
So the hosts on SNME not changing shows means that we have picked up the script from WWE. Hey, listen, there was some WWE news this week because we did get another release as poor Cameron Grimes was cut.
He was released to the moon.
Future endeavored, I think, is the term we're supposed to be saying.
Yes, that was last week's show.
Yeah, well, do you know what? It's funny that we couldn't call this one drafted, because I think that should be the name of the show, because I got drafted this week.
You got drafted and you got a haircut and you got a real job.
I got a haircut and a real job. That's right. I am lurking for national charity CMDA, which is the Christian Medical Dental Association here in Halifax, Nova Scotia. The national office is here. A dear friend of mine is the director, and he just so happened to have needed a very specific set of skills, which is a guy who knows everybody. So that kind of what happened. I did some video editing today. I did some graphic design. I started making phone calls. Yeah. So I went from being, let me give you the timeline. I was unemployed for exactly 2 weeks.
That's nothing wrong with that.
Dude, so I got fired at 1 o'clock, or downsized at 1 o'clock on a Tuesday, and then I got drafted 1 o'clock on a Tuesday 2 weeks later.
That's a pretty quick timing. That's fantastic news. So very happy for you, my friend. Very, very happy.
Yeah, and so... I don't think I kept saying to my boss, I'm like, do I actually get paid to do this? Like, and then the fun part about it is my job, I was always on call, kind of had stuff. Tonight I had a long day, like a long work day yesterday. And then when I came home today, I was like, oh, this is what it feels like. Like, is this what normal people feel like, Greg? When you finish work, you like, just put your stuff down and you're like, it can wait for a while.
You can ask my wife that. I am not the best person to ask that, though. I kind of had a bit of a day like that today. I ended up having to go to a medical appointment that took a little bit of time, and I ended up taking a half day today to deal with all that stuff. But I finally have at least some answers of what the hell is going on in my face and my mouth. So. Hopefully that we'll get that straightened out in a couple of weeks, or at least start the process, and hopefully it won't be too bad. But that was my day today. It was a gorgeous day here today. The sun was out. Like the weather was so nice. We ended up barbecuing a little bit of some burgers and stuff for supper. And then the family went over for a swim, which was nice, at a local pool, and came home and prepped for tomorrow, as I get to spend the rest of my weekend in lacrosse rinks trying to get several hundred players out on the floor over the weekend to get them out for their first times and check them in and make sure they have what they need. And so that's kind of the weekend coming ahead for me.
Wow, you are doing the dad work, that's for sure. I'm going to do SFA.
That's not a bad plan either.
I have my side hustle that I'm doing some videos. So my next video is uploaded and I have to do some social media preparation for the posting and record a reflection. But other than that, like, I don't think I have anything on the go. My wife's like, what are we gonna do this weekend? I'm like, I have no idea. I had sushi for supper, a local place. We did takeout afterwards, not because I got a new job. because I sold video games. So I watched the documentary about decluttering. I read the book about decluttering during my downtime between my future endeavored and my future endeavors. And I thought that was clever, Greg. No smile out of Greg. I was like,
no,
future endeavored and my future. Anyways, and the book basically says, you know, if you haven't touched something in a while or haven't used it. So I went through my Switch game collection, which was quite large. And I was like, these are games I am never touching again.
Right.
Like, I loved Mario Golf when I got it, and I don't think I've touched it in 2 years.
No, I get it. I get it. Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to. So
is there a market for Mario Golf, though?
I sold it for $30 and I only paid $60 when I got it.
That's actually not that bad.
Yeah. You'd be surprised. Some of the games, the Link's Awakening, we're going to put up for $50 tomorrow. We put up tonight for $50 and I think it's already sold and it was up like an hour.
Nice.
So some of those games, you just never know. And there was one guy who was like, you know, you could have Animal Crossing, we got $54. There's another one that they were like, you can get 30. You only could have charged 50 for this. And my wife was like, yeah, but then I would have had to haggle with people. It's like, nah, just it's 30 bucks. Come get it. So that's kind of it. And then went through my board game collection, which was ample. And when I was, you know, a church youth minister and I had kids showing up in my office, I had most of them live there and some of them never came home. And when they all came home, my wife was like, you have too many board games. You need to get rid of some. So that's what we've done. We've gotten rid of some board games. So just kind of divesting and decluttering. Next up is my ample collection of comic books. Just going to go through and take issues that I know are not going to be worth anything ever, Greg. Like, they're just not going to be worth anything. So, and then we are in here in Halifax, we have a local children's hospital. I had the idea the other day, a dear friend of mine from Phoenix, Arizona said, why don't you do what I do? Which is like, he's like, I buy comics I really like. If I have something cool, like a cool cover, I put it away. If not, he's like, I give it to a local children's hospital.
Like when you're done with them?
Yeah.
Oh, fair. That's a great idea.
I know. I was like, buddy, that's like the best idea ever. So I'm going to give them to the local children's hospital. Kind of take a big box over at a time and just slowly clear up my closet, my attic. And just basically I'm going to cut myself down to like, I'm going to say 4 to 6 long boxes.
Nice. That'd be great. I've got to do some of that stuff too and do some decluttering and stuff. So that's a great idea. I love that.
Yeah. Books too. Like when you have an office and you're a theologian, I'm not planning to ever have an office where people need to read, see what textbooks I read in university. So I was like, I have never touched these books. No one's ever asked to borrow them. So one of our local libraries, which is a theological library. They took half of them. The other half went to a charity where they sell them for $5 a book and it goes to a good cause. So I was like, these are the things I don't need anymore.
That's a great way to do it though, right? Like that's an ideal way to actually do that sort of thing. So I like that idea.
Yeah. And so that will be my helpful hint. It's called it's about decluttering. So yeah, just decluttering your life. It was a great, if you hit me up, hit my DMs. Maybe if I can remember Greg tomorrow, I'll put the book in the chat. I can't believe we have a book recommendation that's not like a wrestling autobiography in our SmackDown review. What has become of us?
I don't know. But I can tell you, it's not going to take us long to get through this SmackDown tonight.
Boy, oh boy, is it not going to take us long to get through this SmackDown. So Greg, you alluded to a title that you had in mind. What is the title of our episode and how far into SmackDowns are we?
Oh, no, I think we'll use yours, Drafted.
Yes.
I think we're just going to go with Drafted tonight. So this is episode 1,288 from, I think tonight was from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like this is the more things change, the more they stay the same. Because was there anybody that was drafted away from SmackDown that you're like, damn, I can't believe that person's gone?
Okay. I just did the math.
I saw you doing numbers. So I figured.
I did the math. I have one question because I'm not 100% sure because honestly, I forgot Randy Orton was on SmackDown. Andrade was drafted he was on Raw previously, but he ended up on SmackDown for the last few weeks. So I didn't know where to put him.
Yeah, he had a couple appearances, but he was a Raw guy. He was on Raw teaming with Ricochet officially in the Raw roster before the draft.
Right. But then the last little bit, he's been like Latino for hire, right?
Yes.
So I don't know what to call him.
So coming home because his wife's on SmackDown.
His wife is going to be on SmackDown. Let's be honest. Okay. So there were, if I did my math right here tonight, 22 wrestlers who were drafted in 16 picks.
Yep.
Right. So 16 of those did not move brands.
Wow, Greg. So that means we only
five did, and that's with the Andrade question mark.
Yeah. So it's either 17 or, yeah, that's crazy. That's kind of ridiculous.
This is a nothing burger. That's all this was tonight. Was absolutely, this is a big old pile of nothing. That's what you got from SmackDown tonight, folks.
Okay, I'm going to try and be on the positive side because the things that I think that are... Okay,
hold on. You being on the positive side, is it because you're so excited because of your hole now with Nia Jax coming?
Oh, man. Okay, you just had to like throw the negativity at me. I was on the positive side because I think the best part of the SmackDown was you could start to see them continuing to experiment with camera angles. Like, it's the post Kevin Dunn world, Greg.
Sure, but did you need the draft here to do this, right? I know what they're doing. I know that they're trying to play on draft fever with the NFL last night. That's fine and good. But if you're not going to change a goddamn thing, why are we doing it?
Or all of the craziness is going to happen on Raw and we just got drafted. And by drafted, I mean shafted.
Yeah, well,
That's got to be it. That's the only way you can look at this. And if we're sitting here next Friday reviewing the show from France and you and I are looking at each other like nobody changed, then that really is a problem, which means that this is the first flop in the Paul Levesque era.
That, you know what? I'm changing the name of the title of this episode. It's Drafted or Shafted.
That's a great way to put it. So the interesting... Go ahead.
Yeah. No. It's like, because I honestly don't know here. And yeah, here, let's run down. Let's clear the draft stuff off the board, right? Round one.
Whoa. If we're going to be starting this with the draft, you have to start this correctly. So
okay,
we are going to cover the draft picks for the entirety of the episode, this episode of SmackDown, and then we'll go through the other things. So
all right, but the draft sound of it coming in. All right, so round one, we have SmackDown picking Bianca Belair, Raw for some reason picking Jey Uso. I have no clue what they're smoking in the Raw dressing room, but apparently it's what we did. SmackDown decided to counter that with Carmelo Hayes.
Yep.
And then Seth Rollins is the second pick from Raw. Now here's the part that drives me nuts, okay? And I don't know if it's me not liking this because it's a professional wrestling type thing, but what happens? These two groups are supposedly independent, picking their wrestlers, right? So what happens if Raw or SmackDown picks Bianca Belair first? Adam Pearce had Bianca Belair as the first wrestler for Raw. And then he's like, he sends out, or Triple H is there trying to pick for him. And he has to read out Jey Uso. Like, I don't mind the one-to-one. Like, okay, SmackDown picks one, Raw picks one. We do a segment. But it's like having all four of them kind of line up right off the top. It takes out the believability that this is an actual draft and this is an actual not predetermined thing, because at least this way, okay, like if I was going up there, I'd be like, okay, I have my pick and I have my backup pick in case someone picks my pick. Like if you're doing a fantasy football thing, you kind of have to have your sheet going with you, right? So I don't like this, let's do four picks at once, but this is where we are.
Okay, so you jumped the gun just a little bit. So let's go through some of the basic rules. One, you cannot draft champions other than the women's tag team champions. They were up for grabs, but all other titles were frozen, which was different from previous years. So Cody and A-Town Down Under and Logan Paul.
Correct.
We're all and Bailey. That's our crew. They're staying. On the other side, Damian Priest. Now Becky Lynch after Monday winning the title. Congratulations to Becky Lynch. The Awesome Truth and Sami Zayn. Those are your guys who are untouchable on the other side. So, Greg, I thought we would play a little game. So, and just to add a little bit of fun, yes, these, I agree with you. Some of the nonsensical stuff, I think the thing we have to think about is that they have a card and they probably have pick one, pick two, pick three, pick four. So this is our first choice. This is our second choice. This is our third choice. Here's our fourth choice. Now, what would make this more believable would be somebody like, if the first pick was actually Bianca Belair they're like, well, that was going to be our first pick too. So we'll go to our second pick, which is Jey Uso. You know what I mean? Like that you could do it that way.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like this. I don't like how WWE does this. It doesn't make it believable for me. There's also not enough fanfare the way they do this. This honestly, if it was me, I would have turned SmackDown tonight into a non-wrestling show, and I would have turned the whole thing into a draft special, like a Hall of Fame type special event.
Greg, the amount of time they waste with backstage segments and other things, they could have just done this way and done it the way that you described. Have a pick, have a little fanfare commercial, come back from commercial, do two more picks, have the guys still at the podium, or have them and say, we've received our next pick from the back. They could have earpieces in for that matter, just to give it a more realistic experience.
Well, and you can have a panel there, right? Like you do on like an NHL or an NFL draft, right? That are kind of analyzing the picks live and why this is great, why it's not, and not just have Corey Graves and Wade Barrett do it. So, I mean, yeah, there's ways to improve this. I'm not a fan of what we saw tonight. Let's talk round two, though.
Okay, hold on. I would like to add one little game to this. So, do you think, based on round one, who won round one? Did we win round one, or did Randy and Eric win round one? Was it Raw Dogs or Smack Daddies?
I'm not sure. I thought Smack Daddies won round one with our picks here, with SmackDown picks. However,
well, come on. Okay, for round one, we won. We have to take it round by round. We won round one. We didn't get Seth Rollins, but we kept Bianca Belair. We got Carmella Hayes, who's awesome, who had a great main event. But oh, come on now.
We're gonna talk about that when we get there, because
we didn't get Jey Uso. Like, Jey Uso is your first pick on Raw.
Yeah, again, someone was smoking something. So, I mean, if there wasn't the main event tonight, I would say 100% SmackDown won round one. The main event tonight makes me question it, and I'll talk about that when we get to the main event.
Okay, so let's just continue. We are heading to round two of the draft. Greg, SmackDown had the first pick again, and they picked?
Randy Orton.
And then Raw had pick number two, and they picked
Ron Breaker, who in his graphic got mentioned as the son of Rick Steiner, which is a shock on WWE television that his name is even written anywhere. But c'est la vie.
Oh boy, Greg, with round three, we got herself.
I was going to say, this is what I think Nick Aldis, you know, still recovering from surgery, probably. You know, took some fentanyl or something and then picked up Nia Jax for some reason. I don't know.
Well, it could have been worse, because I think there is one worse. Raw then picked.
You have your hate on. I actually enjoy Liv Morgan. So here we are. Raw picks the guy who is in, you know, spending months trying to figure out if he was going to Raw or SmackDown, signed with SmackDown, didn't do a damn thing in SmackDown, and now is on Raw. So I don't know what the hell the last.
And Liv Morgan was the final Raw pick. I got to say, I have no qualms yielding this round and saying straight up, we lost this round.
Just by picking Nia Jax?
Yes.
I, honest to God, I forgot Randy Orton was on SmackDown.
Okay, we get Randy Orton. We get a very reduced schedule Randy Orton, who I think is going to try and be in a tag team with Kevin Owens as long as he can milk that.
Yep.
And we have to deal with Nia Jax.
Yep.
Greg, I got to tell you, just to clean the palate, let's get ready for round three of the draft.
So in the first eight picks, we have 1, 2, 3 people change it. So, I mean, a little less than 50%, but that's not that bad, I guess, all things considered.
This round, nobody switched brands.
All right, round three. SmackDown, with their first pick, for some reason, picked the much cooled off LA Knight.
Yeah. Maybe more like, eh. But Raw. Worse. Wait. It could have been worse because Raw picked
Ricochet. Of all the people out there, Raw decided, oh shit, let's counter LA Knight with Ricochet.
Oh, I wish I had a wah, because that's really what this one was like.
Add it in post.
Okay, no, I'm not. You know what? I really like the next pick. We got
the Bloodline minus Roman Reigns, because Roman Reigns decided to take himself out of the draft.
But he said he was staying on SmackDown, so we kept Roman anyways.
I'm not sure I want this, but I'm okay with this.
Okay. And then the man who was referred to on Monday as burger after burger after burger.
Sheamus stays on Raw.
So nobody switched brands.
No, of the 2, 4, 5, 6 people here, no one switched brands.
1, 2, 3. Yeah, that's right. Because those three guys, we got three guys with that round. But we definitely won this round. There's no way we didn't. Picked Ricochet. Like, Ricochet is absolutely amazing. But except for what's going to be on X, those speed matches, what else is Ricochet doing?
I'm assuming driving down the road with Cedric Alexander, but we'll talk about that later.
Could there be a possibility that, like, when you said they were doing the things, I think Ricochet could have been this close to being Cameron Grimes this week when they're doing releases.
Do you know what? I thought the same thing about Cedric Alexander when I saw him on TV tonight. I was like, oh shit, right? He still has a job.
Oh yeah. Yes. He's currently, the other guy that I was shocked wasn't released. He tag teams on like Main Event and stuff with the former member of Hit Row. Now it's gone. He is the Adonis.
Shante the Adonis?
Yeah, Shante. Yeah, they're a tag team now. Remember we had that one clip like 4 weeks ago? We haven't seen them?
Nope. Exactly. Not at all.
You know what the best part about, so you skip the fact that this round was brought to you by, because when I think about incredibly talented women in the ring and on the microphone, I think about Michelle McCool and Tori Wilson, because that's who was doing this last round.
WWE Hall of Famer Tori Wilson and WWE legend, because she apparently didn't do enough to become a Hall of Famer, Michelle McCool.
Listen, she should be a Hall of Famer. She is the Undertaker's wife. Like, that man's got enough stroke.
He did. Whether he does now, I don't know.
Okay, so out comes the Dudley boys. And I like the fact that, a little attention to detail, Bubba was representing Raw.
Was the Dudley boys round three?
Yeah, they were round three, and then round four was the amazing one.
So Michelle McCool and them were round two.
Right, and so round three, we came out with our Dudley boys, including Bubba, who, when they were separated, went to Raw, and Devon, who became Reverend Devon, stayed on SmackDown.
Sure.
So round four, by the way, was a huge miss, because they did bring out JBL and everyone's favorite general manager, Holla Holla, Teddy Long, except they came out to JBL's music. We really should have had them come up with Teddy Long's music. I would have paid to see JBL do the Teddy Long dance.
I thought the same thing with like Michelle McCool and stuff like that. Like, they could have easily done two different announcements here. God knows we could have cut some of those backstage segments down just to let both of them come out to their own music. So yes, I also missed that.
There were four recaps in the show, and definitely a couple of them I will nitpick the crap out of. Dude, this round, I feel like, yeah, I don't even know what to do with this round.
All right. So SmackDown started off with AJ Styles.
No big deal. And then Raw picked.
Raw countered that with Brad breaking me, Alpha Academy, Chad Gable, Otis, Akira Tozawa, and Maxxine Dupri. So now, I'm not going to lie. I did not watch Raw this week, but last time I happened to hear about Raw, Chad Gable turned on Sami Zayn, and you know, I did happen to hear the podcast of our good friends, the Raw Dog, and Chad Gable basically belittled all of his other members of Alpha Academy, but we're going to pick them all together, and Alpha Academy is not going to turn on Chad Gable?
Dude, you have to, okay, so I want to go through this at the end, because there are people that are still on the board that were not drafted, because not everybody got drafted, even though there were some people that were draft eligible that did not get drafted.
So all right, let's go through that in a few.
Yeah, okay.
All right, okay, so that AJ Styles and Alpha Academy for some god-awful reason, I don't know. Then WWE SmackDown decides Andrade El Idolo, or Andrade, what are we calling him now? Just Andrade?
We'll call him, listen, he is
Charlotte's husband.
He'll be always be Andrade Flair in my heart.
All right, well. And then Raw decides to counter that with NXT superstar Kiana James. Kiana James, who, by the way, started wrestling, at the Performance Center during the pandemic.
Dear God. So I want you to think about how bad you need to feel about yourself right now. If you're any of the following wrestlers, are you ready? Ivar.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Undrafted, eligible tonight. The entirety of the OC, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, and Meechan. Zoe Stark, and don't forget our witchy women, all went undrafted. Oh my gosh, and Shayna Baszler is in this draft. She was also undrafted. Kiana James got picked ahead of Shayna Baszler. Dude, Ricochet got picked ahead of Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, like, what? Wait, what? Like, yeah.
Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler, you could have drafted as a tag team. Why not?
I wish I knew, Brad. I wish I knew.
Ivar's tearing it up on Raw with amazing matches. No, we're not going to take him. You know who I really want? Alpha Academy.
So here's the thing that I didn't realize until partway through here. Like, as they were going to doing these picks, and we got the Nia Jax pick come out, I'm like, what idiot didn't pick Jade Cargill here in this round of the draft? Like, why wasn't Jade Cargill picked? And I didn't realize that the draft pool for Friday and the draft pool for Monday were different draft pools.
Yeah, they did that so we didn't just pick like Bianca, Jade, like just pick all the big stars.
I guess. I mean, it's just another bit of stupidity, right? Like, we don't need this over two nights. This, again, draft special, do it all one night and be done.
Do it as a 3-hour draft special on Raw with no matches. And maybe, and don't do it in an arena. I know that means you're leaving money on the table, but can I also give you another couple of two other simple things? So sure. To make the draft pools, yeah, and to build on your draft theme, you have a group of people on the bump on Wednesday, and they do a 2-hour special bump. NBC's happy because they get 2 hours of stuff. They have experts there, and they have a big tumbler, and you have Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce there, and they're pulling out names saying, these are the ones that are going to be on my show for the draft, and these are the ones to be on your show. And they literally make a draft pool.
Do you know what? Here's the other thing that I don't like about this is, why wasn't there an NXT room and an NXT picks in the draft, right? That they could pick what is main roster stars and bring down to NXT.
Well, if you didn't get drafted, if you're the OC, I OC and Ivar are already down in NXT. Oh, I also forgot Cedric Alexander and Ashanti the Adonis were in this draft.
Oh, dear God.
Zoe Stark, Shayna Baszler, and the Witchy Women. Does that mean they all got drafted back to NXT or they picked in the supplemental draft?
And I don't know that I care anymore.
I care where Shayna Baszler ends up and Zoe Stark.
Well, here's the thing. They're not going to change. If they change, they're just going to come back and forth anyway. So what does it matter?
Yes, because eventually they should win the tag champions. So that's the whole draft special. Do you want to go through the other segments and then we can cut things?
Do you know what? I think it's perfect time. I think you need to hit that sound.
Oh, really? So we're just going to go right to the ending. Greg's like, no, I don't want any more foreplay. Let's just go to this.
This is your SmackDown Synopsis.
All right.
Greg, so let's go through the rest of Raw in synopsis form. We had the cool thing about this was the camera angles. And I will say that the best part was seeing Cody sign autographs. My wife was on the couch with me when Jade and Bianca came in and she's like, whoa, they're jacked.
Sure. Also, Jade, you know, just a little advice. Do up your goddamn pants.
Facts. Okay, Paul Heyman tells us that Roman Reigns is being gracious and skipping the draft. He'll stay on SmackDown no matter what happens. And he's not sure what's going to happen to the bloodline without Roman being in it and in the draft. AJ comes out. We get a contract signing. The guys kind of kiss each other's ass. This was weird.
Yeah, no, this is getting cut. Don't need this crap.
Yeah, okay. So I won't go into any more details. So we get the draft round one. Carmelo comes out and faces off with Cody and basically says Cody says, if you come with the king, you best not miss. And Carmelo doesn't miss. So does that mean we're getting a match tonight, except that Melo missed?
We'll get there.
So do we keep the Melo challenge?
Sure.
So we have to keep something. And are you keeping the draft? We already went through it. Well, let's put that right here. Are you keeping the draft?
Meh. I don't even know. I don't even know. Let's leave that. Let's leave that for now.
Okay. So I also have the soundboard up and running because technically I owe you a.
Yeah.
And also, well, actually, I decided to switch things up, Greg, because okay. I think whenever we cut something, we're going to go.
I was going to say, I didn't hear that. So.
Wait, you didn't hear. Still?
No.
I'm trying to play the Kurt Angle You Suck theme. So,
oh, that's funny.
Which makes it even funnier that it didn't work. I will stick to my booze then.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
So let's keep going. This is Greg. This came off the rails like the next match, Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio versus Angel and Birdo. This match was okay until the end, where the arse fell out of her and Angel didn't take anybody's offense right. And he not only did he goof falling into the ropes with the 619, he took the Dragon Lee's finisher, Operation Dragon, as he just like it looked like he half hit a DDT.
Whatever. I do know what? I didn't even really watch this match because I'm sick and goddamn tired of LWO and Legado del Fantasma for the 18th week in a row.
So you're just going to go.
I'm just praying that one of them ends on the other brand so I don't have to see them both again.
Well, and for no reason, we got the Carlito reveal tonight.
The Tony Khan-inspired Carlito reveal.
Yes, where Carlito beats up Dragon Lee from behind, leaves, and then comes back and pretends that he found him beat up.
I wonder if Nick Aldis was fearful for his life here.
I wonder if Dragon Lee was fearful for his life here.
Oh my God. This is just so much stupidity.
Because apparently he's blind when his back is turned. That mask gives him no peripheral vision at all.
Whatever. I'm so done with all this. I'm done with Carlito. I'm done with LWO. I'm done with Legado del Fantasma. I want you all off my TV.
Okay, so Bron Breakker versus Cedric Alexander has a match. What are you doing with the 20 seconds before Cedric does a flippy thing into a spear?
The 16 seconds this match ran. This I think I'm gonna leave in only because I forgot Cedric Alexander was still getting paid by WWE. So let's leave this in so he gets a payday.
Yeah.
Because that's how we feel about this, folks. That was a big yeah, because it was so great. Oh boy, Greg. I can't believe I get to play with this because Gregory, why are we getting recaps on a show that had so much filler? Recap one is Tiffany Stratton. Why, Greg? Why recaps?
I don't know. But we're cutting it.
Oh, and by the way, there was a round of drafts in between the two recaps. Recap two. Kevin Owens and the Bloodline, which led to the Kevin Owens and the Bloodline brawl in the parking lot.
Yeah, we're cutting that too.
Which led to Jade and Bianca facing off with Damage Control after a promo by Bianca. Are we keeping this either?
Nope, cutting this.
So we're just going to boo the heck out of this.
Yeah.
How about the brawl afterwards where Randy Orton gets involved and we get Kevin Owens and Randy Orton teaming up apparently against the Bloodline?
Sure.
That's a...
Yeah.
Just a simple, eh. Well, what the hell? Eh. Greg, the only good news about that is that we're going to get our KO show.
The RKO show. We get the RKO show next week, and we get something else announced in a little bit. So we'll go in a few.
Okay. So Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton. They have a pretty good match until, for some reason, Nia Jax attacks Bayley, beats up Naomi. The match is thrown out, and Tiffany Stratton hits the prettiest moonsault ever on both of the women. Greg, 50-50 chance next week at the PLE. Nia Jax attacks all three of these women and win and doesn't win the title, but ruins the match.
Ruins the match, yes. I actually would love here to see next week Nia Jax get involved and Tiffany Stratton win.
So if that happens, I'll give you a big
yeah.
But because right now we're dealing with Nia Jax, all I can give you is
that's very fair.
What a waste of a match. Like, that's so. Do you realize that they keep rest? These combinations keep happening and the match never ends clean.
No, do you know what? I thought we were going to get that later. So,
Street Profits were involved in the back. They get cut off by AJ A-Town Down Under. They make fun of the fact that the Cincinnati Bengals don't win anything, Greg.
Whatever.
And Bobby Lashley pops in and A-Town Down Under runs. Are you keeping this because of the football reference, or are you?
Now we're cutting the shit.
I figured you were going to do that. Okay, how about the Jackie Redmond? I'm also just going to pop the other sound effect in here, Greg, because not only do we get the Jackie Redmond talking to Kiana James when she got drafted, we also got recap number four. Kiana James, Greg, gets a recap for being drafted to Raw.
Sure, but don't we get Teddy Long and stuff coming out?
Oh no, we're gonna get there in a second. Maybe I just skipped over that. Okay,
yeah, you did.
So we get the Final Testament. They beat up the New Catch Republic, which sets up a match for next week between them and AOP, and apparently we get two more matches added to the PLE. The first one announced by Nick Aldis. He is going to make a triple threat match between Tiffany Stratton, Naomi, and Bayley, our champion, defending in that match. Then get the Teddy Long special, holla holla, Kevin.
But he didn't get a chance to say it. Like, he's like, hey, a player, we should throw him in a tag match. Like, he didn't get to say that.
He should have said, you're going one-on-one with The Undertaker, which was the reason why this segment, Greg, I think needs to, even though it was like, you know, just kind of there, I think even though it just gets a mid-eh, it's because of Corey Graves. Because Corey Graves said, you didn't throw him against The Undertaker. And that's what everybody was waiting for. You're going one-on-one with The Undertaker, player.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, our main event tonight was Cody Rhodes versus Carmella Hayes. And Greg, I already know what you want to do with this match, and I'm kind of surprised. So I'll let you do the honors. You want to?
I hated this so much.
Okay, why did you hate this?
Okay, here's why I hate this match. SmackDown used their, what was he, number two pick?
The highest ever NXT draft pick.
The highest ever NXT draft pick. The number two pick to come out. Carmelo Hayes. And he called his shot first night there in SmackDown. And loses clean to the champion. Why in God's name would I now believe Carmelo Hayes? And I know Carmelo Hayes has done some fantastic things in NXT, don't get me wrong, but if I don't watch NXT and I don't know his NXT story, his first night in, he loses. So what makes me think that he has a chance now against Cody Rhodes? And he lost in a short time. Like, that was not a long match. It was what, 8 minutes? 8 minutes 41 seconds
with a commercial.
I was expecting a an AJ Styles interference schmoz type ending, so at least Carmelo Hayes doesn't take the clean pin, and I mean then they all live to fight another day type thing. But this to me was just terrible. I didn't like this at all, and now I don't see Carmelo Hayes as being worthy of that second draft pick.
So here's the thing. I think the in-ring match of this was excellent. I will yield with the fact that I think you're right. I think there was you know what the clever way to do this was? Have AJ Styles come down there, have AJ Styles and Cody get into it without getting physically touching each other. And then they're just in each other's faces and they're like, they get nose to nose without getting into it, but they get into it without physically touching. And all of a sudden, Cody realizes, oh, shoot. And he starts running back towards the ring. You get the 10. And then Cody just slides in right after the 10 count. And Carmella wins.
Yeah. Could go that route. But
and you didn't need a schmoz. I think he could have done that. And then AJ gets the laugh. AJ gets a moral victory by getting the win, by costing the win. And Carmelo Hayes then spends the next few weeks on SmackDown. He can mow through a couple other mid-level faces and say, yeah, I'm just biding my time until I get my next title shot because I am 1-0 against Cody.
Yeah.
And you could do that a couple times. You could have him win another match where Cody gets attacked from on the outside and Cody's left laying and he wins by count out again, or somebody else comes down and attacks Carmelo and Cody loses by DQ. And you can do that two or three times without beating Carmelo.
Yeah, I love that. I love that idea.
So yeah, I get it. I think the problem was, and the other problem was, I think you could have him eat the loss in a 20-minute match.
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem with SmackDown tonight was there was too much going on for a show that was like, we didn't need Bron Breakker tonight. You know who needed Bron Breakker is Raw on Monday.
Yeah.
He should come out right after the first picks are done at the beginning of the show and just spear somebody into next week. He could have killed Tozawa on Monday and had Chad Gable lose his crap.
That's very fair. By the way, I lied. Kiana James debuted after crowds returned post pandemic.
So she's really good. I am really worried that she's going to get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Apparently there are, so WWE has announced as we are recording additional, digital media exclusives.
Yep. Digital exclusives. Here we go.
So here are the additional picks of round.
Whoa, Craig, you haven't learned. We have to.
Okay, in the supplemental draft, Cedric Alexander and
Ashanti
the Adonis are drafted to SmackDown.
No, they stay on SmackDown.
Alba Fire and Isla Dawn are drafted to Raw.
Oh, there we go. That's actually two people switching sides. Okay.
Drafted to SmackDown, the Lone Wolf, Baron Corbin.
Awesome. I'm actually kind of excited for this. I've been watching his NXT run. I'm happy to have him back.
Drafted to Raw, Ivar.
Wait, he was already on Raw. How's that drafted?
Well, that's where he is now. I'm reading the graphics word for word, dude. Besides adding the lone wolf, I added that.
Wait. Hold on. So I'm just going to review. I took a picture of the draft board when we started tonight. And I think I'm going to puke in my mouth some more because...
Nothing changes?
Well, no. Did you... So Shayna Baszler's still not drafted.
I'm getting there. There's another round of the supplemental draft.
Oh, thank God. Because if Shayna Baszler was left on the board, I was about to whip my phone across the room and say, Greg, you wrap this up. I'm done.
Returning to SmackDown, the OC, Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, and Meechan.
Okay. And let me guess. Staying on Raw.
Drafted to Raw. Drafted? I don't know. The Queen of Spades, Shayna Baszler.
Whoa, what about Zoe Stark?
I'm not there yet.
Okay, who's next?
Drafted to Raw, Zoe Stark.
Bring off.
Kid you not. That's what I got coming in.
Wait, was she drafted separately from Shayna Baszler?
Yes, she was.
So drafted or shafted? I really don't know. So nobody switched brands.
Not really. No.
We got Baron Corbin.
We got Baron Corbin. Well, the witchy girls went to Raw.
Yeah, which means that they actually get to participate in the tag division instead of hanging out in SmackDown by themselves.
Whatever. Yeah, we get Baron Corbin. Yay. And two guys that are going to be released soon enough, I'm sure. Because So honest to God, I had forgotten until tonight, until I heard JBL's music, that night I went to Raw in Oklahoma City, I saw JBL, because that was during the whole JBL and Baron Corbin together phase.
Oh, I totally forgot. Oh my gosh, so they can be back on the same brand again.
Yeah, so it kind of made me chuckle. And did he fight Cedric Alexander that night, or Cedric Alexander the pre-match dark event?
Doesn't matter. He might have killed Cedric Alexander that night. Shanti the Adonis and Cedric Alexander drafted to SmackDown because somebody needs to get beat up by Baron Corbin and Carmelo Hayes.
Yep. So,
okay, honest question: who's in better shape this week, Trevor Lee, which is the real name, which is the like indie name for our boy Cameron Grimes?
Right.
Or Cedric Alexander.
Oof. Oh, I don't even know.
I think Trevor Lee going back to the indies.
Probably
is better off because he can try and have an indie run. I mean, if he goes to TNA and actually works, is it better to be working in a smaller company or getting eviscerated and doing dark matches in WWE?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know which way that goes.
I guess it would come down to how much you're making. Because like Matt Cardona has done better as Matt Cardona than he did as Zack Ryder in the last few years.
Yeah.
And yeah. Mustafa Ali, there's no arguing. That man is having a way better run on the indies than he did as Mustafa Ali disappearing act on whichever brand he was on when he got cut.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair.
And we don't mean to be negative. It's just this really was, you said this was a meh episode.
This was a meh episode. By the way, I just went and looked up that card that I went to in Oklahoma City. So let me read it to you.
Okay.
The main event taping at that show was Akira Tozawa versus Cameron Grimes.
To the moon.
And Cedric Alexander versus Duke Hudson.
Duke Hudson. Oh, it's right. Maybe they'll draft the entirety of the Chase U to Raw.
Yeah. The main card was a tag match, Alpha Academy, Chad Gable and Otis versus the OC with AJ Styles on the outside. A tag team match, Bianca Belair and Candice LeRae versus Damage Control.
Man.
The singles match, Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin. A singles match, AJ Styles with Anderson and Gallows on the outside versus Dom Mysterio with Damian Priest, Finn Balor, and Rhea Ripley on the outside. And then in the final match, it was Seth Rollins for the U.S. title as the champion versus Matt Riddle with Elias.
Oh, man. Yeah, that the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah. So.
Well, Greg, we have been talking for almost an hour. So thank you to you for joining me again on a Friday night. Thank you to all of the listeners at Sunday night's main event, as you are probably aware. But if you're new and you found us, thank you for finding us. We are available at patreon.com/SNME radio. For about $1 a week, you get a ton of great podcasts. You get an NXT review and a Portland review with our good friend Steve Swift from across the pond doing the solo pod. We get All Elite Geekly. That is Dax Xavier and Boris, the captain of the ship, who is, they do our half of our AEW coverage. The other half is done by the Grants, Matthew and Aaron, who do the Collision Catch-Up. You get the Raw Dogs, Eric B. and Randy C. They'll be finishing up the draft. And of course, you have live audio wrestling here as part of the Sunday Night's Main Event family. And our flagship show, which also appears on TSN Radio, Boris Aguilar holding it down. Have you heard? I love the new show now that we have added. Boris has a new antagonist, shall we say? Like, I don't know. What else would you call our newest colleague?
That's a great question. I would call him, a great interview. I enjoyed the interview with Jimmy Corderas this week. That was really fun to listen to. Yeah, Brad, we've got a whole bunch of draft stuff going on. And I mean, I don't know about you, Brad, but after tonight, I'm just ready for someone to draft me to somewhere else. Cause man, oh man.
You stop it. Okay. Before you say a word,
Tom Burkhead will be calling any minute.
It's not that Boris might be listening to this. I'm less worried about Berkey. I love Berkey, but I smoked him in our draft, in that draft special over.
And you know what? I'm a little disappointed in you.
Why?
In that draft special. I'm going to tell you. Because Brad, as someone, as a gentleman, as yourself, who is there representing SmackDown. Oh, I know. I know for a fact. You were not wearing a Nick Aldis suit to this draft special talking to Berkey.
Okay, just for the record. You could only see me from the waist up, right? It's standard podcast, video podcast form. Mm-hmm. I was wearing my kilt.
Okay, but still, like, I mean, I expect a Nick Aldis suit.
Next time I am invited to a draft special, I will wear traditional Scottish attire, the kilt, and I will also put on my pretty vest and my McKinnon tartan tie just so I can look at Sean Burkhead, whoop him at the draft special. Go check that out on Radio Free Pro Wrestling. You can comment on the video and tell Sean Burkhead that I whooped him. Not only did I whoop him.
It wasn't even close,
the
man.
The Wyatts, dude. I like,
destroyed it.
That, the Wyatts. And I liked how he let me take the Hardys. He's like, you can have the Hardys. Are you kidding me? Matt, after seeing broken Matt Hardy on Impact, and that's why you need to stop talking, because somebody has to cover Impact. Somebody could cover MLW. Do you want Boris to draft us to one of those shows?
I don't know. Well, here's the thing. If he's going by WWE rules, he can't, because no one's allowed to change. So that's it. Have a great night, everyone.
We're the ones.